something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
we play a brand new game, What's That?
We talk about our worst clams in history.
And Ben Folds' five wives? That's all coming up right now on TNT. Bonjour, everybody. My name is Marcus Franglais, and welcome to the IT game show, What's That? This is the game show where I read lyric from a English song in French, and that guy have to tell me what the song is. So to recap, I read the lyric of a English song in French, and the contestant, he have to answer what the song is. Our first contestant, he name it Clint. Hello, Clint.
Hi, how are you?
Je suis fantastique ici. Alors, where are you calling from? Where are you anglophoning from?
I'm calling you from Orillia, Ontario.
Orillia, Ontario, d'accord. And as you know, we find the contestant, the people that did the worst in high school French class. So that's why you are here on What's That?
That's right.
What? Just so I know, what mark did you get in high school French?
I don't even remember. I don't remember anything in class other than just kind of having a lot of fun with my friends. You know what I mean?
I like to have fun.
Didn't really feel like talking French, you know?
Oui, je comprends. I understand. So, what high school did you go to? Was it Orillia High School?
No, I went to, it was called Huronia Heights Centennial.
Okay. And did you have Cégep or you didn't have Cégep?
No, we don't do Cégep here. We don't do it Cégep here.
Okay. D'accord, alors, so to recap, I'm going to give you the lyric of an English song. I give it to him in French. He have to guess what the song.
Okay.
Alors, ça va comme ici. Here's your first clue. Quand je fais l'amour. Je correct, ouais. Quand tu fais l'amour. De qui tu penses? Est-ce que vous regardez dans le miroir? Est-ce qu'il a l'air ressemble moins?
Here comes the night.
Je vais répéter. Quand tu fais l'amour, est-ce que vous regardez dans le miroir? De qui est-ce que vous pensez? Est-ce qu'il ressemble moins?
I don't like Mondays.
Non, c'est que... Alors, zéro sur cette clue, ça va, quand tu fais l'amour, when you make love, est-ce que vous regardez dans le miroir, do you look in the mirrors? De qui est-ce que vous pensez, who do you think of, est-ce qu'il ressemble moins, does he look like me?
That's Def Leppard, right?
Oui, c'est ça.
Am I supposed to say the song?
Est-ce que, do you know the
love,
song?
Love Bites?
Oui, c'est ça. Love Chomp.
See, I would have known the song if you sang it normal, but whatever.
Oh, tu veux que je chante? Quand tu fais l'amour, est-ce que vous regardez dans le miroir? Qui vous pense? Est-ce qu'il ressemble moi?
Yep. Love that song, man. It's my favorite one in I go to strip clubs. Still.
Bon, c'est trop facile si je chante en français. Il faut que je dis en français premièrement. So, next time, I'll say it first, and then... I'll sing it if you still don't know him. Okay. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, you know what's not fair?
What?
Fucking Trudeau, man. But anyway, no next question.
Oh, no, maybe we'll get a new contestant.
I don't care.
Au revoir, Clint. On va trouver. I'm going to find another contestant. This Marisa. Bonjour, Marisa.
Hello.
Comment ça va aujourd'hui? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Brantford, Ontario.
Ah, bonjour. Home of Wayne Gretzky. It's correct.
Yes, well, Walter used to see him in the park when he was still with us.
Oh, see him in the park, you mean? You used to see him?
Yeah, I did. He would walk his dog, and he was just always very friendly.
When you English muffin say walk his dog, that means masturbate?
Oh, no, I certainly didn't mean that. No, oh my goodness, holy.
Oh, pardon. Holy. C'est une blague. I'm only joking. Correct. La prochaine chanson. Je vais te demander. Here's your clue. Sur what's that? Si okay. Si tu voles mon soleil. Si tu voles mon soleil. Talk it out. If you know any of the word, maybe say that. Because maybe that will help trigger the song title.
I do hear, I believe, in my son in there.
Wait.
Voler.
Si tu voles, si tu voles mon soleil.
Do believe I hear my son there, but I don't know what the first part is, so.
Alors, voici un clue number two.
Okay. Is this the same song?
Oui, je vais regarder les lyrics. Attends une seconde, là.
Yeah.
What's that brought you in part by Jean Coutu? OK, d'accord. Alors, en français, je sais que c'est à moi si tu as volé mon soleil. Si tu voles mon soleil.
Je I'm pretty sais, sure that's what
c'est
that's
juste what you, à moi what you, si tu voles mon soleil.
I'm pretty sure you said the first time, like this, all I hear is my son again.
Or is it steal maybe? My sunshine.
Oh, the God.
Clue, that's the
oh,
clue
yeah.
we were looking for.
See, you were singing it so off-key, I couldn't tell.
Well, no need to be rude. Just because you did not win that. Thank you for calling. What's that? And time for the prochain contestant. Who do we have anglophoning on the line?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Alors, c'est qui? C'est qui ici?
Yeah, this is Reg, and I'm calling from Saskatchewan.
Where in Saskatchewan?
Just calling you from Saskatoon.
Okay. Are you running back to Saskatoon?
One of my favorites.
D'accord, here's your clue. The category 90s Canadian hits.
Okay, one of my favorite genres of rock.
D'accord. Je vais, je regarde pour les mots que je sais en français. OK, d'accord, c'est facile, c'est un easy clue. Quelqu'un qui est cool. Song title, quelqu'un qui est cool.
Sounds like it's cool. Somebody, are you cool?
Quelqu'un qui est cool. Bon, another clue is the band name start with the letter H.
Oh.
Quelqu'un qui est cool.
Helix?
Quelqu'un qui est cool. Quelqu'un qui est cool.
Oh, I do believe I know that
cool.
one.
Cool.
Oh, that's the, Yeah, that's the odds.
The odds.
Who is cool?
The
I
Hods.
Remember that, yeah.
So, quelqu'un qui est cool by the odds.
Yeah, that's one, right?
It start with an H.
That's it, right?
Yes, you got it right, so you get to go to the bonus.
Oh, right, so I'm in for another one. All right, eh?
Yeah. Bien fait. Alors, $50 Honda board.
Go Rough Riders.
OK, prochaine song title. Aussi canadienne, 1990. La vie est une autoroute.
Northern Pikes?
La vie est une autoroute.
Is that the song?
Oui. Bon, je vais traduire toute la nuit.
The night.
La vie est un... Non, la vie est une autoroute. Je vais traduire toute la nuit.
In the night.
Si toi, tu vas en même direction, moi, je vais conduire toute la nuit.
Where am I going in the night? Directions?
La vie est une autoroute. Moi, je vais traduire toute la nuit.
Autoroute.
Si tu vas la même direction, bon, je vais conduire tout la soir.
The autoroute. Autobahn.
Alors,
Cars by Gary Numan.
Start at the start. La vie.
I'm going.
La vie.
La vie. Let's go.
Vie.
Can we get... Isn't that let's go?
La vie est une autoroute.
Oh, let's go driving.
Wait.
Let's drive.
Life, la vie.
Oh, no, life is a highway, Tom Cochrane?
Oui, c'est ça, la vie est une autoroute. Oh. Je vais conduire toute la nuit. Si tu vas la même direction, moi, je vais conduire toute la soirée.
Soon as I saw those blonde hairs flying in the hot desert sun...
Mais
I knew it was
ou en français,
Tom.
C'est le même.
TC! Yeah! I love it, man. Thanks a lot. I got two questions. Do I win anything?
$50, but I'm going to give you the... I'm going to give you the bonus.
Oh, another one. This is the, like, super bonus.
Qu'est-ce que je fais boire... En Pearl Angel à 26. Qu'est-ce que je fais boire à Angel perdu à 26?
Is that like, how does it feel? Is that what you're saying there?
Qu'est-ce que je fais boire à Pearl Angel à 26?
That's
j'ai mon cerveau sur mon monnaie, puis mon monnaie sur le cerveau.
What am I doing drinking in L.A.?
Oui, c'est ça, tu correct, oui.
By Brand Van 3000.
Oui, and
go
correct.
Green, go Rough Riders. That's three for the team.
Alors, félicitations. You've won $75. And a $50 Jean Coutu Couche-Tard gift certificate.
All right. You know, I know a couple of those. My family knows a couple of the guys in the Sheepdogs, too, eh?
Well, that I'm not sure if that counts as a brag, but it's interesting just the same.
Well, it's cool. It's what it is.
Thanks for playing.
See them.
What's that?
Thanks a lot. Have a great night.
It's funny how... In every French sentence, because I was in French immersion, I feel like I know every word but one word. And there's always one word that I'm like, man, what is that? So I was a little sluggish there because I was trying to look up, like, what is sunshine? I know sun is soleil, but what is sunshine? Apparently, Ben Mulrooney has the unique ability to translate any song from English to French on the fly.
Oh, yeah, like that guy that you knew, you know, in L.A.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, Rob Warsaw.
He certainly can do that.
He can do that big time.
Yeah, to the point of madness.
Where did you ever meet him?
I only met him the one night, I believe, maybe two nights, but with George Strombo.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's friends with him.
Yeah.
And he'd started doing that Golden Girls in French, and I was like, just not really feeling it.
Yeah, but it's
it
not your scene.
Like, it just kind of shocked me.
Because he has a level of commitment.
Yeah.
That you have to be up for like, and get on
like,
board with.
Like Sean Collins styles, like where it's like, no, here comes the wave, you got a deal. Or Jack Black, right? Like there's
yes.
no, once they're starting.
Yes.
Like when he's talking to Elton John, that thing when he does a really funny Elton John impression.
Who, like, Jack Black?
Yeah. He's like, you know that one where you're like, it's going to be on order. He's like, that's a typical Elton John stuff. And Elton John just like looks right into the camera like.
What was that, SNL?
No, it's like one of those like Jonathan Rich or what, you know, one of those like British TV shows.
That's so funny. And sounds like something I would really enjoy.
Yeah.
The idea of doing an impression of someone to their face.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
I was thinking about the other day when
it's
we...
It's like, it's a dead on, like, if you were to be doing an Elton John impression, like, because, like, you know, his, like, throwaway vocal stuff.
The extra runs.
Yeah, man.
Legend of a day.
Yeah, totally. And then he looks into the camera like, what?
Mm-hmm. It sounds like kind of Chris Farley show... meets In Between Two Ferns.
Well, because that's whatever the is it the Jonathan Richman or whatever the show, whatever show it is, where it's like there's always like three or four like super big stars all out with them, and they're all just telling stories.
See, know? That sounds fun.
Yeah,
I was thinking the other day about when we did our book tour and the show at Strombo's house.
Yeah,
and how Maestro Fresh West was there, and
yeah, that
Andy
was
Murphy
crazy.
From Schitt's Creek, and Stephen Page.
And yeah, it was pretty nuts.
It was nuts, and getting to do a Stephen Page impression with / to Stephen Page was a rare treat. And he was a really good sport about it. Probably came because of Strombo, and I think by the end was like, okay, I get it. We're just having fun here. No one's hurting my feelings.
For sure, no. All in good spirits in celebration of the great careers in Canadian rock and Canadian media.
Well, speaking of which, Maestro is getting inducted into the Juno Hall of Fame this
week.
That's
right.
As the first ever hip-hop artist, which is like, it's almost moving. It's so cool what he has accomplished because, man, there wasn't a lane for him in hip hop in Canada when he came out, and he was just relentless and fearless and awesome.
Yeah, it feels like this should have happened 20 years ago, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, doing this for him, and because the landscape has completely just blown up massively in so many different ways, for sure. Yeah, no.
And Backbone is still a jam.
It is. It is still a jam.
I know, I've said before, having him on Jonovision performing These Eyes, seen a lot of shame in the game, and he threw Jonovision in the vamp beforehand, like Jonovision is the magazine, and I was psyched.
And just like the randomness of Certs without the Retson is still a classic.
Yes.
To me.
He also is one of those guys that, like, is on a TV show, stops being made, throws out an album, that didn't work, throws out a kid's show, saw that through, wrote a book, like, relentless in staying in the limelight and just making a career in Canada with all these different tentacles. In fact, season 2 of Maestro Chef Wes just dropped on Bell 5 TV this past week. And I know Cardinal Official is a guest in one episode. But what a great idea that is. Like,
oh, man, it's classic.
He has a friend come on and
they make some food. You should go on
that. He asked me to in season 1, and I wasn't able to. Scheduling thing, but I definitely would.
He's in St. John, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, not too far.
Yeah, not too far at all. But I think they definitely just had a big season 2 launch party in the T-Dot.
In Truro?
Toronto.
No, Rio.
The actual one.
Because it's like the closer to where he is now. I'm like, well, all right. Mixing it up, going East Coast. But he's crushing it in St. John. I know he's loving it.
Just crushing it, man. I mean, cost of living is probably better. His son is there. The mother of his child is there. And she has family there. So I think it's just a family move. But he's busy and involved in the community, and people love him. He's just always got a smile on his face,
always positive, happy to be here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy for him this week. It's a big deal.
Beautiful. And you'll be seeing him soon, probably.
I hope so. Are you guys on March break this week?
Just finished.
Okay, so today's the first day back?
His first day back.
Yeah, same here. What did you guys do?
We hung around. I did a lot of running around, driving, chauffeuring three teenagers.
Uber driving?
Hanging out with everybody. Yeah, just kind of enjoying being off at home with the kids.
So what do everybody they like to chilling. Do? Is there some catching up on sleep or late movie nights or what was the
mood? Yeah, definitely a lot of late movie nights. A lot of late movie nights, a lot of late TV nights.
Yeah.
So now we went through like Breaking Bad again, and now it's like Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is a pretty funny show. Solid, very raunchy, but a funny show. I guess it's like the fact that they're acceptable, you know. Seinfeld was that way in a way where it's like these people are kind of not the best people. In Seinfeld, it's like, yeah, they're all kind of narcissistic and they're kind of shitty people. And Always Sunny is like, no, they're degenerates, all of them, right? So it's like really bad people. So it's kind of funny. I just that perspective of just like total degenerates.
I know there are certain shows that people like kind of lump in with Trailer Park Boys. Like It's Always Sunny is definitely one of those shows, which in fairness, I have never seen. Archer is another. Like, never seen that either.
They are on unemployment, so they just, and they need to fail a drug test to get more or get unemployment. So they like try crack, but just a little bit. Next thing you know, they're literally in an alley on crack, like totally crushing. Like that's pretty, pretty strong storyline.
Yeah.
Just happening in one episode.
So they pursue those flights of fancy.
Yeah, it gets that bad for sure. Like they do terrible stuff every episode. So it's been on for like 20 years, right? Like it stopped for a bit and then kicked back up again. It was one of those shows that I think didn't it get canceled and get brought back right away because people started losing it?
I don't know.
I don't know. Something like that. Anyway.
I don't know, but I know that people will be shocked at how TV illiterate I am. Ryan Reynolds' business partner, Rob, is on that show, right?
Oh, I didn't know he's Ryan Reynolds' business partner. Yeah, but yeah.
Rob McElhenney, and they bought Wrexham, of course. And Caitlin Olsen is Rob's wife.
Yes, that's right.
I get it now.
And the other guy was in the Blackberry movie, who did a great job in that. And that Charlie guy is just Charlie, who's bizarre, funny.
And Danny DeVito's in it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That is on the list of shows that we should watch.
Don't watch it with the girls, like the kids, but watch it.
We have one that we're banging as a family usually, and then one that we're banging Carol and I for 18 minutes before bed. So it's Gilmore Girls as a family. And I bet you couldn't even get through two episodes of Gilmore Girls because I think the soundtrack might drive you crazy.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. Never. I remember that show, though.
Kind of talky and quiet.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, Bruce McCullough appeared as an effeminate knight in manager.
No way.
Yeah, that was a cameo I did not see coming.
So, and it wasn't a joke?
No.
Wow, that's even more bizarre. But that's imagine, when it's like, that's like Andy Kaufman vibes.
I know, but he's basically doing my pen guy, like kind of my pen acting, but in a serious, sort of serious, they have characters that are pretty out there on that show.
Remember when he did the Doors guy, the record store?
Yeah.
That was a pretty good sketch.
But he is always kind of some degree of Bruce McCullough in
Yes.
In most of his performances, despite the wig or dress or whatever, he does a lot of tongue acting, which brings me tremendous joy. But imagine how weird it is if you come up in a troupe like that that's known for being so bananas, and then suddenly you're in your whatever late 20s or 30, and you have to start kind of pounding the pavement to get acting gigs.
I know. There's again the classic Canadian celebrity machine, right? No matter who it is, it's never big enough to coast you for the rest of your life. Like, you got to do something else.
Foley, I guess, did the most mainstream acting until McKinney on Superstore. That was probably right up there. But Foley did news radio.
They all kind of floated around.
Yeah. Foley did news radio and a movie called The Wrong Guy.
Yeah. I just remember Kevin McDonald as the denim jacket guy in Seinfeld. That's pretty classic.
He makes me laugh. Just a picture of him can make me laugh.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, like, if he was mad, I would start laughing, and he would probably get mad. But why are you getting mad? But then it just gets more funny.
Yeah, he's really funny.
Jordan Peterson reminds me of him, kind of, right? Like, it's the character that Kevin McDonald would kill back in the day. Or, right?
Woody Everett, that weird voice.
They could be brothers. Yeah, my voice like that.
By the way, that's a good Canadianity category that we've never really talked about, because Leslie Nielsen's brother was a senator, like Canadian celebrity siblings.
Yeah, like Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, Norm MacDonald and his brother,
Chris?
Neil MacDonald.
Neil, that's right.
Serious CBC news reporter.
And what's the other one? Mike Bullard. That's another one.
And his brother, Pat.
Yep.
I did a
pilot. There's a lot of them.
Called Hollywood Tonight with Pat Bullard.
Yeah.
And he's a handsome, tanned, really funny guy. Who else is there?
I'm trying to think of others.
Oh, the Moffitts, obviously.
What do you mean? Like tandem journalist people in broadcasting, or just the band?
Yeah, like two famous siblings. Oh, I got a good one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Dan Hill.
Yeah.
And his brother Lawrence Hill, the writer.
Oh, see?
Yeah. I want to double check that.
Joe and Gino, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, their sister, too, was an accomplished poet. Their sister, Karen Hill. There you go.
That's good.
Solid Mulroney's. List. Yeah. Caroline Mulroney is a famous politician, as is her brother, Ben. Famous. Yeah. In terms of celebrity leapfrog, Ben Mulroney's wife is best friends with Meghan Markle. And the show that Carol and I were watching after bed
was best friends.
Suits. Are they not anymore?
I think there was a falling out, wasn't there? And then there was a big scandal, but, you know, scandal, but just stuff happened with people.
Oh, yeah, stuff happening with people.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't want to get into that.
Don't want to get into that either, but it was a good way to get back to Suits, which is a terrific show if you guys haven't watched that.
I haven't watched Suits, no, but I do see like every actor from that show trying to sell app games on commercials.
Yeah. How do you feel about Cameo?
I mean, it's if you get them, it's great. You got to do it. I don't know. I don't do it, but I'm saying, remember I was saying Avery was getting like $100,000 a year doing just cameos.
I'm sure.
So if you're making dough doing it, I guess it makes sense. But it's not something I'm doing. That's for sure.
See, I don't understand why I feel this way. But one of the characters on Suits is played by an actor named Rick Hoffman. Plays a character named Lewis Litt, who's like a cold fish of a, like just a great villain. You sort of feel for him. He kind of is the architect of his own demise, can do so many things with his face. And as someone who's played a lot of character roles over the years. I kind of love that. Gravitate towards that stuff. He's on Cameo. And my first thought was, oh man, that would be hilarious to get a cameo from Lewis Litt.
Well, that's why it's a thing. And you like, I've done them. You do them all the time where someone's like, send a video or an audio thing of just a thanks or happy birthday or something. Like, you do them all the time anyway.
Yes.
But like, so that's it. People are like, well, I don't do them for free anymore. Just here's my whatever account for Cameo, right? And hit me up.
Which I totally get. And I know I've talked to people on popular Canadian shows who say they make, I don't know, 200 to 300 a year doing like, hey, Marcel, hi, Michelle, congratulations on getting married, you guys. Like, yeah, that's it.
Well, it's an extension of that, the business that you're in. And God knows it's been chipped away to the point where you can't even get commercials from AI now. Like, how many companies have gone to AI or just sourcing their commercials from videos that people send in?
Do you know what was just weird?
Like, it's unbelievable that the non-union, like, companies across the country for actors, you know, it's disgraceful.
I was doing a corporate gig a few weeks ago, and there was a change to the, like, voice of God voiceover. Like, please welcome. That thing?
Yeah.
And the guy was like, no problem, I'll just plug it in. And he plugged it into AI, and AI spat out a voiceover.
Oh my God.
Like, what about all the people that do that for a living?
How about audiobooks? Like, anything. You could just take a sentence of the writer's voice, and you're done. You click it in, all finished. Takes 10 minutes instead of me. It took like a week to do our audiobook. But there's people that do audiobooks as their job because they crush it. But those jobs are all shrinking, man. It's unbelievable how many different ways between robots mopping floors to, you know, actors using just people like AI commercials. They're just using them, generating whatever, and just using it.
You should see that.
It's free.
Uber Eats robots in LA.
What do you mean? They're like all over just cruising around?
They have little robots and like they have a name on the side and it says like Bartholomew or something, and you see the maps crossing the road. Like, it's so weird.
What do you mean? Like they're going, like they're walk, they're drive, like a little robot rolling on the wheels? Road?
Yeah.
How fast are they going?
Like 3 miles an hour.
So how's that? Like, why not? Like, if it's going that slow, like, what do you live around the block? That's the only way it works?
I don't know. I just texted you a picture of Felicia.
No, I know, but what if you're like, you want a pizza and that thing's rolling like 3K in an hour?
Just, I don't know.
Like, is it like the robot in Short Circuit? Like that speed?
They're adorable. I just sent you a picture and a video of one.
And that's the whole thing. That's the scary part. It's like, it's so cute. It's like, that's just another job gone. Like, it's unreal how those ones are the first ones that are getting taken.
Hey, look, I'm conflicted about the Roomba. I feel like, I know, right? That's like taking someone's job away.
Not in your house. It's saving you. That's the sell, right? Where it's like convenient for you. But then it's like, well, then this is like cutting out a job. Then, you know, instead of spending, I don't know, what, $25,000 for a minimum wage job, they'll spend 80 grand for one of these robots and know it'll make its money back in 2-3 years. That's the deal.
That's why there is technology that would allow us to just bake both sides of our podcast together. But then Tim would be out of work.
Oh, my God.
We do this for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of which, let's take a break, bud.
All right. Okay, hold up. We got a jam for the next thing here we got to talk about. Okay, ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. She's a breaking out, drowning slowly. This is Ben Folds 5.
It's a wonder he hasn't drowned yet.
So apparently, this guy's like the Elizabeth Taylor of Sleeper Rock?
Well, yeah, someone said on Twitter he's the Liz Taylor of 90s piano rock. Someone said the headline should be Ben Folds Five Wives. He's getting divorced for the fifth time.
Fifth time? That's in 30 years, 20 years probably?
Yeah, it's a lot.
He's just ripping through wives like it's nothing.
Ben Folds Five Wives. People are mean on the internet.
Dude, I just don't think this is working out. Like every 6 months.
Someone said one more divorce and there can be two Ben Folds Five cover bands made up entirely by his ex-wives.
But it's Ben Folds Five divorces.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the headline, right?
Here's maybe the most harsh response. That's a lot of black t-shirts he needs back.
Oh my God. What about the other two guys? No one ever talks about the other two guys.
Well, someone also said, I think the problem might be with Ben.
Yeah.
Starting to think the problem might be with Ben. So wait a sec. There are three people in the Ben Folds Five. Was that the joke?
Yeah.
Ah. I like a good joke.
Yeah.
After 6 years of marriage, irreconcilable differences. He's going to have to pay her $475,000 for any interest in their Nashville home. And he'll pay $650,000, $27,000 a month, for the next 24 months. Car insurance for the next year, and $50,000 of additional funds to assist in the purchase of furniture for a new home, and pay her $210,000 from a National Australian Bank account once things are finalized. He has four previous marriages since 1987.
Like, he's going to be coming after us for playing that song.
Yeah.
To ask for money. That's how it's got to be with him now.
Well, to bring back another game that we've played before, what's he driving?
Oh, he was driving one of those just fresh Range Rovers with the big high wheels and the blacked out windows,
but
right?
Now?
For sure. But now he traded it in for a Prius, for sure.
Yeah.
Right? Or whatever the electric car. Some kind of electric car.
You don't like to mock people going through a hard time.
No, you don't. But you want to see him in a smart car. One of those little tiny ones. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
Where it's like those cartoon styles where it's just the like you sitting up and that's it. It goes around your legs.
And maybe he should just not have a car. Maybe he should just everything he's doing, just change it up.
Well, Nashville, it's kind of spread out though, right?
I guess. It depends
he's
where he's living.
It's got to write another brick or like a country brick, right?
Aside from Brick, do they have any other songs that the people know?
Let me check.
They must.
They have to. I'm sure, yeah, because I remember them around.
And that song was a big deal for a minute.
Army. I can't say I remember Army. One Angry Dwarf. Kate.
Did you ever play with them?
Yeah, festivals and stuff, but not like I didn't. I don't know them enough to see them to know who they are.
What was your sense of Ben Folds?
Like, get your pillows ready. Ben Folds is coming on.
What does... Aww.
Cozy
sleep,
up.
Sleep rock.
Time to have a little nap.
So on the Gilmore Girls...
Let's have a sleep. Oh, so he's in Gilmore Girls.
No, he's not.
So yeah, he's acting now? Is that what it was? Isn't that what it was?
No, but I was going to say on Gilmore Girls, there's
is he
a
in it?
Recurring...
He's not in it.
No, he's not in it. But there's a
that
recurring...
Would be great.
Soundtrack device that they use as a transition between scenes, and it is imagine acoustic guitar, and it's a woman's voice too in harmony.
Oh no, it's not. Oh yeah,
la 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 la,
no,
the same phrase over and over and over and over again.
No thanks. That'd be like as bad as like a ukulele, right?
But it was it's very of a time. It's very 90s, and there's something cozy about that.
I can't do it, man. No thanks.
I like watching a thing before cell phones where people have their head up and can be out of reach for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
That's nice.
You know what? I think I don't like singing. Like, I think I...
Period?
Like, if someone's like, I'm really... Like, if they're a really great singer and they start singing, I'm like, I want to leave, I think. I don't like it. It's loud as fuck. And it's too much for me, I think. So I don't know why.
You're coming out against singing.
Yeah. Like, that's...
Do you get like the same satisfaction and enjoyment out of instrumental music?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just when it's in like in front of you in the room, the loudness is all. Like, it's loud.
Oh, I see.
Singing's loud. It's not about like I hate it in general. Like, I'm okay at concerts when everything's the same level. It's fine. But like, this just singing, not a fan at all. Like, especially if they're good, because that just means it's really loud.
Like Train?
Oh, fuck. For that guy? If I had to sit in a car ride, listen to him go belt through some stuff, I would go in the back seat and just put earplugs in.
You don't want to be in the booth when he's just doing...
Oh, no. It'd be so loud.
And you can't even hear the music because they're in his cans?
He doesn't need a mic, that guy.
So tell me.
Yeah, like, he could do that song without a mic. I'm going to see them again in July, my boss. Matt Musty plays drums with them. They're playing again at the Budweiser stage.
Was it Matt who said that he can sing anything?
No, it was Ed Robertson who said that. I don't know if he wrote with him or something, but yeah, that guy could sing a commercial and it would just sound incredible all of a sudden.
He just has that voice.
Just string together some words. You're like, what? Sounds so fancy.
Drops of Jupiter. Now that you're back in the atmosphere, like, drops of Jupiter loud. In your hair. Although, I think that was about the passing of his mom.
Yeah. Spit, just spitting, right? You know, that mic is just getting hit with some vocal salad.
Do mics ever short out from saliva?
I don't know. No, not saliva, but like, if it's, I'm sure if it's like, if they have the volume too much, it can break or some damage. If it's really, sometimes some of the really crazy vocal mics have like a lot of really small parts that are fragile, right?
Did you guys ever have to
banging around
call off a show because of like tornado watch or
Yeah, lots of times, for sure.
Huh,
where'd that come from, tornado watch?
Well, I guess I was thinking like of so saliva on a mic, that wouldn't do it. Pouring rain on a mic might short it out. What about like storm?
You don't play, but like any time where there's a chance that stuff that you're using isn't grounded and you're dealing with serious electrocution, yeah, you gotta pull the plug on that.
Did you guys ever have any close calls, like you're playing and it starts to pour and then they're like, you need to get off?
No, but we've had like, even in the studio, like there was one point where Mike Turner like would stop recording because he was sick and tired of getting shocked. By I guess whenever he touched the record button or whatever, like on like to start the console, the remote, whatever. Like, so if his foot was touching the seat, which was steel, and he pressed the button, he would get a shock.
From what?
to the point where I wrote it on the back of a piece of tape and put Sparky and put it on the back of his seat because he was getting shocked so much.
Well, is that a common recurring thing?
Well, I guess there clearly was a grounding problem with the electricity through the studio floor or whatever it was. Like, that's never something that should happen. But it can happen when you're you know, when you're dealing with guitars, amps, mics, anything that can have a grounding issue.
Did you guys tend to record live off the floor or isolated tracks, or you started one way and became the other, or it just depended?
Mostly recording one thing at a time, but we had definitely experimented with live off the floor and had some live off the floor songs for sure.
I should know this. Is there a live album?
Yeah, there's live albums.
That you guys put out or that people just bootlegged?
No, there's both. I'm sure there's tons of bootlegs, but there's live shows, tours, concert films, all that stuff.
Are there concert films?
Yeah, we did the tour with Trailer Park Boys emceeing. We did in Alberta, we did a concert movie out of the two shows.
Did Klattenberg shoot it?
Mm-mm. They were just there on the tour. But it was funny. Like, if you look at it, I'm there, you can't see the drums at all because it's just so dark. I'm like, the fuck is that about?
Why is it like that?
I'm thinking Rain was like, just keep the drums nice and dark back there. It's like, that's how bad it is. Like, if you look at Innocent, for example, like the live Innocent on that video, like there's not one shot where you can see me at all.
Really?
Just black. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck? That's ridiculous.
What year was that? We can probably figure it out between the two of us. 2003?
2003, yeah. 2003.
I want to watch that.
Well, no, watch the YouTube Innocent. You'll laugh. It's funny. It's funny. You're like, oh, when you hear it and you look at it, you're like, come on, it can't be like that. And then it's actually, you'll be laughing by this first chorus.
Because it looks pointed.
Because it starts with drums and everything, right? It's just so kind of like, the whole song, it's like, what is going on?
So what is a good...
But I remember on that tour being like, I can't see anything at all the whole show. Like, can I get some lights up here? No, there's no lights. Okay. All right.
Rookie question. Isn't it hard to drum in the dark?
Yeah. Well, it's not hot. Like, it's hard if it's like nonstop, but like when you're everything is where it is, it's not a problem.
Have we ever talked about the biggest clam of all time?
Well, our first show, we opening for the Tea Party.
That whole show was a clam.
We were in I think at Backstreet in Montreal, and we actually were playing our set opening for the Tea Party, and the Tea Party guys were right at side stage watching. And at one point during, I don't know if it was Naveed or another song, but like two songs started at the same time, or somebody thought it was the song ended, so started another song. But there was just so much chaos happening all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere that nobody knew like where one or up or down was. So Rain just turned around, it's like, fuck it, stop, let's get off the fucking stage. So we literally just stopped and got off stage. And I remember the funniest part after, we're just sitting in the van, like just like smoldering. And Terry Sawchuk, who came out just for fun, he was an engineer on the first couple records. He's like, well, you guys sure sucked the bag tonight.
No.
And it like totally broke the ice of like, yeah, that was really unbelievable.
So were you guys like, I don't think mad at each other worse, or just so disappointed?
It was our first show, so it was just like nerves. So it was all so, everybody was so, there was nobody to blame at all. It was just a collective collapse. And it was literally like a train going off the rails. Like, that's the classic example. Like, you know what off the rails means when that happens, because it's everything's gone. And you're just kind of crashing into each other. And it's horrible. But yeah.
Worst best show to ever.
Get it, best to get it out on the first show. I've asked Jeff, the drummer from the Tea Party, about that show. And he's like, well, I don't remember, really remember that. I'm like, you must remember that. Like, you must remember us sucking super bad. Like, come on. That's like a tattoo in my brain.
So what about for you personally?
Well, I mean,
like, do you ever remember that was the worst show?
That
for
was
me?
The
like,
worst.
The band was
yeah,
fine, but I was terrible. Or can you always find a way back?
There was some show in England when I hadn't slept, I was completely sleep deprived, where I couldn't sleep at all until like 7 o'clock in the morning. I'd fall asleep for a couple hours and wake up completely awake, but by the time the show came around, that's when I was the most tired, like fall asleep dead tired. So after 2 or 3 days of not sleeping, I was like, and we were opening for Stereophonics. There's big arena shows, and there was a couple like moments in one of the shows where I was actually asleep from the song. Oof. But I was like still playing, like totally autopilot, but I'm sure it wasn't great. Because that's after that, it's like, what was wrong with you tonight, man? It's like, well, I fell asleep a couple times for like a minute and a half.
That'll do it.
Like if imagine if you're driving and you're like been driving for a while and you wake up, like, wait a second, what just happened?
Yeah, that's no good.
So yeah, like full sections of songs not remembering. So I'm sure that wasn't great.
Clam City. I remember,
oh man, when you have no energy and you can't do it, like, it's just what's music doesn't, that's not how music is meant to be.
Also, just fundamentally, if you're sleep deprived and trying to sleep, it makes you mad. And when you're mad, yeah, you can't sleep.
Yeah.
Like,
and it was bad.
Come on.
I always had problems the first few times going to Europe, trying to get on track.
Well, yeah, of course.
Takes I don't know, it takes I think I can do it now, like I have no problem when I'm tired falling asleep, but then it's like it's no way, you just have too much energy to and like you said, you just get frustrated instead of actually relaxing.
Yeah, I've only had a few of those in my career where I remember early on in Street Sense we went to Buctouche, New Brunswick.
Yeah.
Home of the Bohemian Cabaret. Greasy yeah. Bar. And it was one of those, like, I can't even remember what it was, but there was a misunderstanding and a miscommunication, and they brought us in to be, we thought, like, hey, hi, everybody, sign some stuff or whatever. And they had kind of billed it as a show. So they brought people in, and people were sitting, and it was like, please welcome. And
yeah,
we didn't have a show, and there was a language barrier, and they were like, the piano's over there if you guys need it. Like, I don't even know how this happened, this miscommunication, but luckily there haven't been that many times in my life where I've thought, I don't know how I got here or what I'm doing here or how to get out of it.
Yeah, scary stuff.
Aside from the G7 Summit, Kaylee on the Hill, which we've talked about before.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, but almost like erotic, getting booed by that many people.
Well, you've like, it's really like practicing falling, right? Like just tripping and knowing you're somehow get back on there.
Yes.
Because I'm sure you're used to that. You probably have those moments a lot, right? Especially when you're like learning whole new things every week with work.
Yeah.
Trying to remember somebody's name or something, like it just must be a lot of information coming and going, right?
Yes, and it's probably a couple of things. One, I care less ultimately. Two, I have developed a bag of tricks that I can use to get myself out of quicksand.
Yeah.
Because if that happened now, the G7 Summit, Kaylee, if they were saying we're having technical difficulties, I'd be like, all right, hang in, we'll be right back. Instead of trying to tap dance to fill the space.
No, I know, right? Because I guess when you're young, you think, well, this is an opportunity to prove myself instead of just like chill out, Like, you don't have to look at that at all that way, right?
Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting when I do these corporate things, and my job in a corporate hosting setting is to kind of bring levity and humor to something that isn't very funny by its nature. But it's fun what I do. So sometimes people on the client side are like, ooh, you know, it might be funny. Or like, would you consider doing it like this? Or maybe if you did that, it would be funny. So finding the most subtle way to say, oh, that's really funny, but I think I'll do it this way this time because it's worked for me in the past. Like, I'm also, as I age, better at speaking up and just being confident about what I know because I've done it before, right?
Well, yeah, and then sometimes when you're in a situation like that, you got the person, they want to make their mark in what you're doing somehow. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, exactly. They
want to change it just to have their piss stain on it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like, you should make fun of Todd. Todd loves that. Okay.
Yeah.
Does everyone in the room know Todd?
Yeah.
Because if they don't, it's not going to work. And does Todd actually like being made fun of, or are you just assuming he does? Because that could be ugly too.
Exactly. That's even worse.
So context is really important. And the other thing I've learned with age is if it's at all risky, don't bother.
You just like jokes. You see like the reaction of Todd, the different possibilities.
Yeah.
Run through the five or six different faces he's going to make.
That's my very first question now. Who likes to party and who is like off limits? Because I've stepped on a few Todd landmines inadvertently where I thought we were there to party and the person's like, I'm not here to party. I'm just doing my job.
You're like, well, obviously Todd's going to be double fisting it after this, like thinking that's going to get a big cheer. And then all of a sudden, like, he's in AA.
Yeah. Dude, I know you're joking, but it's happened before where people are like, we're going to give an award to so-and-so, the Goes Hard in Vegas award. And I'm like, okay, you're sure they're cool with it? Oh, yeah, they'll think it's hilarious. And
no way.
She cried.
Oh!
It was terrible.
No!
And wouldn't come to the stage to collect the award.
Oh, man.
Because the bosses were like, no, we just mean, like, has fun in the spirit of the week kind of thing. But
like
this person took it as being humiliated in front of her.
The Dundies. The office guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Who took the biggest dump award.
Yeah. And you think it's playful, but you can't control how people take it, even if your intention lacks malice.
Yeah. Think about the little joke you just made. Now throw, the whole company, every person that this person knows and works with.
And also
in the same room.
Stuff you can't see underneath the tip of the iceberg, which might be I'm actually really struggling to get my drinking under control and didn't need you to shine a spotlight on it in front of the world.
Forget it. That's the worst.
There are some horror shows, though, because sometimes, these people will win trips to go somewhere awesome on vacation based on their performance. So everybody from work goes and they start to get into things and then people say what they really think. And
oh man,
yeah.
I'm sure every single conference there's got to be a percentage of that going off.
Like, why is Kyle face down in the kiddie pool?
It's True Colors Tuesday.
Yeah.
Where they all go out and all of a sudden everybody just starts saying crazy stuff and going nuts.
Yeah. It's happened a lot. And I think safe to say the climate has changed and there is zero tolerance for garbage now. Sounds like it used to be, from what people tell me, in the 80s, like, let's take the private jet and take a dock golfing in St. Pete's Beach.
Yeah.
Imagine the grease.
No. That's, yeah, like Epstein Island vibes.
Well, let's leave it there, bud.
All right, let's leave it there. Okay.
Good chatting.
Chatting.